All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. And we check in, as we do Tuesdays, at 9:40 a.m. Pacific with our friend Karen Lyle, co-hosting from SalesportTalk.com. Karen, welcome to the show, and also Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Rick. It is certainly good to be talking on Salesport Talk, and I've just been thinking about all of those sailors at sea out there in the American Forces Network, and hello to them as well.
All right, very nice. We're here. The topic is the tall ship Picton Castle, which is a bark, and we are here with Mark Head. Mark, tell us more about the Picton Castle, please.
Well, to the extent that I can, that I know and can remember, it's been 10 years. I was, I tripped over an offer to be a medical officer. I'm an MD out of D.C., Washington, D.C. And it was a wonderful 3 months in the South Pacific, flying into the Cook Islands, where I think the ship is registered. And it was just a great experience. We took off and went to the Vanuatu Kingdom of the I think the North Islands, and then all over, you know, sort of the South Pacific, and wound up in Newcastle in Australia, and sailed down to the coming in of the ships, the big this is the 100th anniversary of the return of the fleet, I think it's called, in 2013. From their pre-World War One coming into to Sydney Harbor in 1913, so we celebrated, I guess, about a week of festivities in the port of Sydney of that event, the return of the fleet with a couple big U.S. Navy boats there as well, and then we went on a race. We had a race of tall ships to Bay of Islands in the north part of New Zealand. So from Australia to New Zealand, we had a race in which we placed, I think maybe third or fourth or something. And then down to Auckland. And it was just a wonderful experience aboard. I was aboard 3 months, and very well-stocked, you know, medical sort of infirmary there. Not too much work, but some work for a doctor. A lot of seasickness and that sort of thing beginning, and then accidents that happen, you know, to sailors climbing rigging, and fortunately mostly small stuff, but some tough guys there, I have to say, and gals who withstand, they withstand pain very well. There, a lot of them are skilled sailors, and they sign on just to do, you know, to do a month or a week or maybe a voyage, and they're, you know, they were very good. They're very good patients, I have to say. As you know, when things did happen, and a few things always do over 3 months, it was quite a pleasure to, you know, take care of them and their small, relatively small things that happened. One did have congenital back problems. A young guy, very fit. But he did pull out his, he had a disc, you know, herniated disc problem. We had to get him to medical care in New Zealand, and then he went home and got and had some microsurgery, laminectomy on his back. But other than that, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of. It was just mostly fun sailing with this beautiful ship, maybe 157 feet from bowsprit to stern, and learning, trying to learn the ropes, you know, trying to learn how things work, which I never really got hold of. Everybody else seemed to learn their ropes quickly, but I certainly was a slow learner.
Well, tell me, Mark, if I can call you that, Dr. Head.
Sure.
Yes. So how long did it take you to get your sea legs? Because I'm thinking here that if we're in this particular area and you have any kind of swells in the boat, then it's moving all which ways, and you're in the galley and you're trying to even do something simple like put a Band-Aid on somebody. What techniques did you use to keep yourself aright?
Well, you do have to in a swell, you know, and there were, we went through a few storms in that time period, steered around the big ones, but yeah, you have to watch out. I think particularly in the galley, I think particularly that, you know, the whole galley was set up to handle that. My setup wasn't, and things did move about a little bit. But fortunately, whenever I had to do any work, on patients, on the sailors, fortunately we had calm weather. But we did have some. You get your sea legs pretty quickly. A lot of people don't. I've never had a problem, knock on wood, with seasickness. But a lot of people do, and particularly in the beginning part of the voyage. So I saw a lot of those kind of people. And you give them, if you have scopolamine patches, the antihistamines, you use those. If you have, which we did, ginger was kind of in fashion then, these various ginger drinks and pills and stuff. I'm not sure the literature supports their, efficacy, but people do believe in ginger and other things, other teas and things you eat and drink. But, the thing with the, we had a lot of seasickness. And, I think the old thing is just to look at the horizon or try to find a fixed object on land and keep them busy doing things when they're able to move around, do some work, keep them doing things or try to get them to look at a distant fixed, object, a cloud or the horizon or something. But seasickness and getting your legs was that was an issue in the beginning. For many people, and then that seemed to resolve. That seemed to resolve. So that was it. And trying to figure out what to do for that, and there may be some new treatments. I don't know. In smaller vessels, that must be really a problem. I don't know what the medical community thinks about seasickness these days, or how to get over it. I'm not too attuned to that, but it was an issue that. Seas were an issue at some time. We had to put up cable and ropes, six lines in the big storms, and clip in on the carabiners, to move from bow to stern. If you had to get about the ship, you could go under through the cargo hold. You could go under the deck. That's the only way we could move on a big storm. Otherwise, you'd clip into a line. As you've done probably any number of times in a big sea, and the Picton had unfortunately lost a crew member a couple of years before who just didn't clip in, and that was a sad, sad event. But it's not I don't think many people get lost at sea, man overboard. I don't think that's very common, but.
It does happen.
And we have drills, you have to, by mandated drills, you have to drill for this stuff. And we did do those drills. And I have to say, medically speaking, the ship was very well outfitted. And if anything had seriously happened, they have the call-in, call-in radio frequencies. You can call them to expert, expert doctors. And, you can evacuate people one way or the other, if you have to. So, it's all very safe, I think, as safe as it can be. And the ship's big. It's a sizable, from my standpoint, it really takes the swell pretty well. You're a solid, solid presence. And Captain Dan Moreland was excellent and very skilled, captain. And we had a great first mate, Dick Lorenzen. And maybe those two will join you sometime. I'm sure they do.
Well, I think they're in Bali now, and it's somewhere around 1:30 in the morning there.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't able to connect with them by Zoom, but
yeah.
We really appreciate you coming
and
representing.
They do a much better job than I in telling you about the mission of the ship. It's educational.
And Mark, at the risk of offending you, this is the only time on a ship where someone says, "I need to go to the head." It could be they need medical help, right?
Yes, well, my mother didn't name me Richard. That wouldn't have worked. go to the head. They did, and they came to me. They came to me for all kinds of reasons, because you get some older teenagers on aboard, they're there to, they're there for various reasons, and they all have their issues as kids, adolescents. And then you get, the older, hardened sailor crowd, who are great because they have lots of experience, and they're there for a real adventure, and they get up, they're constantly showing you things about how to get by on board and using these doing some minor carpentry and doing everything that you need to do or they need to do. Making a ditty bag, and getting up in the rigging to fix things, and then getting up there to drop, to furl and unfurl the square sails and all that stuff. It's quite, it's quite fun, and you're always then rust busting too. They've got there's always tons of stuff to do to keep everybody busy. So it was quite interesting, and even medically kind of interesting. A couple times, tough old Norwegian, very experienced mariner, had a subcutaneous cyst. I had to open, and the guy just stood there. He needed no anesthesia. It was just quite. I gave him some anyway, but just these people out at sea are pretty hardened and pretty tough people. So they have high threshold of pain. I was impressed by that. Weather doesn't seem to bother them. It's very interesting how they adapt to the given conditions and the weather when it gets
Yeah, Lustery. That's why they call them salty sea dogs. We have been speaking with Mark Head. You can check out more at picton-castle.com. Building whales named after Picton Castle, which is there in Pembrokeshire. Mark, thanks for your time and your insights.
Well, thanks so
great,
much.
Great having you on the show, Mark.
Thanks for the idea. I love it.
All right. And Karen, good talking to you. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you then.